It's the biggest weekend in Victorian harness racing, the big two-night extravaganza out at Melton on Friday and Saturday night. Tomorrow night, we've got the Great Southern Star, where these superstar horses will go around twice in a night. So races two and three are heats of the Great Southern Star, and then the top five, I think it is, from each heat go through to the final, which will be run a little bit later in the evening, about 10:05. And then we've got the Hunter Cup, Victoria's biggest pacing race, on the Saturday night. A man who's going to be central to a lot of it, particularly when it comes to the Great Southern Star. He's had a couple of winners in the race over the past few years. His name is Andy Gath. He's been good enough to jump on the line. Andy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Josh.
How are you feeling about it all? It's a lot of the work's done. Your horses have done all their work. How are you feeling going into such a big weekend of racing for the stable, but for the state?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a pretty unique race, obviously, racing twice in the day, or hope to qualify. So, it's been a good race to me over the years, and, I always look forward to it every year. You sort of get challenged as the trainer, and the driver gets challenged as well, and so does the horse. So both my horses are in pretty good order, so see what evolves on Friday night.
Now, just talk to us. A lot of people listening won't be familiar with harness racing in the fact that these horses are so durable, they're so tough, they're so resilient. A galloper, particularly a staying galloper, needs to, some of them might race 6-7 times a year. We see these Melbourne Cup horses, and they come in and they've only raced twice in the year. These horses, as you said, hopefully, if you get through, going to race twice in a night. Just talk to us about the real toughness and the resilience and the unique aspect to the standard breds.
Yeah, obviously, we've just been through an Interminion series as well, where they race four times in a fortnight. So it just shows you how tough and resilient they are, and what type of workload they can cop. So a lot of these horses probably not new to them, because a lot of people probably train them now two heats at home, so they're used to working twice a day on their fast work day. So racing twice a day is probably not the end of the world for them. Over the period of time, there's been some horses that haven't backed up in the final that perform well in the heat. So you don't know until you actually have the horse in it. Majestic Iso was fortunate enough last year to win it, and he's probably a horse. If you asked me 18 months ago, would he be the type of horse to be able to do it? I'd say no, because he didn't have a very good constitution. But as he's got older and matured, he sort of has developed a lot in that aspect. So, it's a pretty unique race. And hopefully the first three are guaranteed to get in, and it's the next four fastest horses, individual time. So you can effectively run seventh in a race in a heat and still get in. So it's pretty tricky to qualify if you're not in the top three anyway. So
It's a race where you say a lot of trainers do train their horses in this facet. What will you do with the horse in between? I think there's probably going to be around 3 or 4 hours in between. So all things going well with Majestuoso, what will you do with him in between? Will you leave him alone? Will he get to have a drink of water? Will he have something to eat? What will you do with him in between to ensure he's ready to go for the final at 10:05?
Yeah, everyone's different, obviously, with their own horses, and everyone does things different. I know last year with him, it was quite warm, so it's not going to be warm tomorrow night. It's going to be quite cold, actually. So you'll find they'll recover a lot quicker because it's not quite as hot. But first thing is you want them is to cool down and recover. And last year, we sort of gave him a bit of a walk and let him cool down and sort of just get his body temperature back to normal. Then I virtually just left him alone. He's quite a nervous horse, but he just sort of likes his own space and just sort of left him there. Let him drink as much as he wanted to after the race. And I did let him, I did bring a feed with him and let him eat a little bit. He didn't eat that much, whereas I think the other horse, Tornado Valley, qualified. He sort of hoed into it. they're all a little bit different. A lot of people walk them a lot and try and get the lactic acid out of their system, but I tend to find it just precipitates anyway after an hour or so. It just depends on the type of horse you've got, but I generally like to leave him alone as long as I can and just think that's another race for him and just let him relax.
We're speaking to Andy Gath. He's with us for Harness Racing's Summer of Glory. Visit thetrots.com.au. Andy, did the sport miss a trick not giving Catchaway a start in the Hunter Cup? I know it's been a big point of conjecture across the industry, but you know, generally speaking, and I know it might be a bit tricky for you because you train the horse, but do you think we need to be more open in harness racing when it comes to, you know, putting horses in races that will, you know, they need to have done enough, but, you know, that are going to ignite a bit of excitement and a bit of chatter about the sport?
Yeah, I think so. It's been an opportunity miss, not because it's my own horse, but going on the process they go through, which have been doing the same for years, who's probably never going to get in. So saying that, a horse like Captain Ravishing, who's the most exciting horse in Australasia, he's favoured for the Miracle Mile. He wouldn't have got a run in the Hunter Cup based on what he's done. So, you know, even maybe Ladies in Red, she's never raced an open class company. She's only raced her own sex and her own age group. So she probably wouldn't have got in either. So, you know, I thought it was an opportunity to put the, you know, sort of line in the sand and say, well, from now on, we're going to pick the most exciting and best field available at the time. But it unfortunately didn't happen. It's not the end of the world for me. He's going around Saturday night, obviously, in a lesser race. But, yeah, again, he's an exciting horse going forward. But, again, a lot of these opportunities have been missed in the past and just unfortunate they've been missed again.
Yeah, agree. Probably got to move with the times a little bit and help the sport help itself. I know you're a great student of the game, even when you don't necessarily have runners in the races. The big Delray National AG Hunter Cup, it's our biggest pacing race. $500,000 on the line. It's a tricky race on paper. Of course, copy that. The reigning back-to-back New Zealand Cup champ. We saw him at Ballarat. He was outstanding when he found the front. And if he finds the lead here, it'll be hard to beat. But this looks a race where, you know, you could probably throw up six or seven winning chances. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, if copy that finds the lead, he's going to be awfully hard to beat. If he doesn't, it's going to be quite difficult for him. History would show over the last few seasons anyway, the longer the race, the harder it is to win off the fence. And we saw Dentimini in the three on the fence, ran 1-2-3. And a lot of our big races over the longer distance, that's been the case too. So, it's a pretty even race. Obviously, you know, there's a few horses probably a little bit out of form in it with a few question marks on them. But copy that was, he was afforded the lead at Ballarat and he won quite easily in the end. So he's definitely the one to beat. Spirit of St. Louis obviously got the draw to be, you know, hard to beat, and, you know, Hurricane Harley's going to be on the fence as well. And it depends what Luke does with Expensive Ego too, whether he, if you think Spirit of St. Louis is going to hold up, he probably just might dive through the fence himself with him and he probably becomes a winning hope then.
It's been an interesting time for harness racing. I think the sport flourished a fair bit during COVID. We're one of the rare sports that didn't have to shut down at any stage. I think, you know, only one or two days of racing was missed due to the pandemic. So, how have you seen the sport really grow and come on? And we're seeing, you know, great coverage across racing.com this weekend. We saw it through the Inter-Dominion, big crowds, record turnover. So how have you seen the sport of harness racing improve over the past 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, there's no doubt we're on an upward spiral. I think we are. I think the product's really strong. We've got plenty of great horses coming through. We've got some great trainers, especially a lot of young great trainers coming through as well, and a lot of great young drivers, and, you know, and again, the female in the sport, that they sort of dominate as well. So, yeah, no, I think sport's in a really healthy place. We're getting fantastic coverage on our big nights all across all the platforms, whether it's, yeah, TV, radio or print media. You know, it's been fantastic, and, you know, we've sort of become a lot more relevant again. And again, shows like SEN and everything sort of showcase our trotting a fair bit as well. So, I think we're in pretty good space. We've got to keep going and keep pushing. But, hopefully, you know, we're heading the right way. And I think we're doing all the right things that we are.
It's Kate, your wife, Kate Gath, the champion driver, premiership winning driver. She got her next marathon planned. I know she enjoys her marathon running as much as she does driving winners. Has she got her next marathon mapped out?
I think she has. I think she doesn't really tell me, but I think she's eyeing off the Boston Marathon. And my main owner, Norm Jenkins, who lives at the Gold Coast, he said, oh, Kate rang up, wanted to stay here in the middle of winter. And I checked, and I think the Gold Coast Marathon must be up. So I think the Gold Coast Marathon's the next crack at one. And then I think, you know, she'd probably like to have a go at the Boston Marathon. So, yeah, takes a lot of training and effort to running marathons. And, yeah, luckily she's got a good boss that she can find some spare time to do it.
Well, she told me she was a boss, Andy. So good luck with that. And good luck with your stable star, Majestuoso, in the Great Southern Star tomorrow night. Hopefully he can qualify his way through to the final, draw a good barrier and go back-to-back. That'd be something pretty special for you and the team.
No, thanks a lot, Josh.